Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Yes, indeed. It is that time of the week again for Atlanta Technology Leaders. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, sitting in for Stone Payton and Lee Cantor here in the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs. I would like to welcome Sandy Welfare to the show this morning or this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
And you are the Executive Director of Women in Technology. Is that right?
That's correct.
How long have you been in that role there?
So it's 6 months now, so I'm really dangerous.
6 months in that seat, and you enjoying that so far?
So far, so good.
And you're going to be sharing more information about the Women in Technology itself and the event coming up today, right?
Absolutely.
Good. We look forward to that. And seated next to her is Tina Dyer, right?
Correct.
And you're with Park Mobile and Director of Marketing, is that right?
That is right.
And so you'll be talking more information about what you do and in the business community you're serving there. And we look forward to that. And I also like to welcome Cherie Fuzel, right?
Yes.
And you are CEO of Park Mobile, right?
I am indeed.
Good. But you're going to be also talking about women in technology and how you're supporting them and their mission as well.
Yes, and my involvement with WITConnect this year.
WITConnect this year, which I think is the 21st annual WITConnect. Is that right?
It is indeed.
Good. So we look forward to hearing about that in just a moment. So Women in Technology has been around for some time. Is that right?
Since 1992.
1992. And how did it all come about? Do you know that story?
I think based on the history that I have, we were one of the three founding societies of Technology Association of Georgia. And so if you look at the history of where TAG is now, we're pretty much, been a part of the history to build the technology support needed for the Atlanta community. So it's been great.
Yeah, so 1992, and Atlanta certainly is a huge technology hub across all platforms there. And so do you have a technology background yourself?
So I actually have a technology / math background.
Okay.
And so my previous career to nonprofit was in running global financial operations. And so it's been great to use all those skills and move it over to the nonprofit side and build the infrastructure that we need to support women and girls in technology.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the foundation itself was founded in 2004. And since then, you guys have been serving not only the Atlanta community, but is WIT in other cities as well?
Well, WIT is pretty much for the state of Georgia.
Okay.
And so we do a lot to support all the nonprofits who are within the metro Atlanta community. And so we've just finished our first grant cycle and supported organizations such as Girls Inc., Cool Girls, as well as Girl Scouts. And so those are some of the groups that we're supporting to help them build their technology programs to get more girls interested in staying in the STEM disciplines.
So you're getting it in front of them at a young age.
Absolutely.
The Girl Scouts, Cool Girls. I also see here Generation STEM, Girl Develop IT, Girls Inc., Vox Teen Communication. So how do you find these young girls and teenagers to kind of share with them what you're doing?
Many of the nonprofits are looking for the community support, and so we're filling in that gap where they're needing the funding to do their programs. And I just left the YWCA Achievement Award, and there was a young lady who was a part of their program, and they're one of our grantees for last year. And she pretty much started in seventh grade, and she's moving on to be an engineer. She's graduating this year to be an engineer, and she said it all started in seventh grade.
Is that right?
Back at the YWCA. And so it's really fabulous to see them come full circle.
So she first became aware of this as a young girl and has just stayed in contact and followed that path all the way into a career now.
Absolutely. And she was granted a Millennium Scholarship, and so she's pretty much going to be able to support her education from college to PhD.
Wow.
I mean, it's fantastic.
That's like the poster child of WIT.
To say the least.
No doubt about it. And
absolutely.
So hopefully her story is getting shared to other girls out there, as well as the people looking to support the nonprofit itself, because that's truly a success story.
Absolutely.
So what led you to want to lead up a nonprofit? You said you're a technology and mathematics background, but taking that jump over to the nonprofit side, what was it about WIT particularly that led you to take on this role?
Moving, I was previously with Cool Girls, and so it was really a great opportunity for me to marry my previous corporate background to the nonprofit background. There's a lot to do, and I think that I've probably been called to just do something that I'm more passionate about. If I stayed in the corporate world, I'd probably be somewhere, not here, somewhere around the globe, because I had literally just moved back from London and had been in Singapore and Sydney, Australia. So a lot of it was travel and all the things that go along with building a global operation. But when I came back, it was great to do something that you get up and you're excited about every day. And so that part is very exciting.
And you get to return home every night.
Absolutely.
Right? You know?
And I will say that that's probably where we talk, particularly with women in technology, the balancing part, where you've got to be intentional about the balance or it will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's got to be tough if you're on a certain career path, but at the same time, you're trying to, you know, start a family or build a home, and that can be difficult.
It can be
challenging.
Absolutely.
So the foundation itself, what are some of those kind of services, mentoring, training, or what do y'all do over there to actually help these women grow and develop into a career path?
Well, I think the most important thing, particularly for women in technology, and if you were to look at technology and the financial fields, as women get higher, it becomes more challenging to stay within that career if you're really wanting to go higher than that. And so it's really giving them more soft skills around how do you deal with the challenges between male versus female. I know when I first moved to Singapore, majority of the people that I supported were males. So it was really interesting that everyone's looking to me, but it was in a very traditional culture for it to be, you know, a male-dominated work environment. And so it was interesting for me to learn from them as well. And it's giving all of the women support that when they are the only woman in the room, how do they basically find success? Mm-hmm. And it is very different between male versus female.
It sounds like it. And so you can find networking events, professional development, all along those lines to help you achieve success in the technology realm as a female.
Mm-hmm.
And these young girls, you know, what are some of the things you can provide a seventh grader? I mean, what can you do for them to get them excited about pursuing a career path in technology?
Well, the Girls Get IT program is the program specific for middle school to high school, and it's really getting them to see what are the opportunities. So we have an upcoming event where it's going to be behind the scenes at NCR so that they can see what are the jobs that you could do. It's not just about coding. I think a lot of people just think of coding. There's so many different fields, and I'm sure what we'll hear from Cherie today is her coming into a very technology-driven field. But it's so outside of what anyone would think about in terms of I'm going to start a company called Park Mobile and mm-hmm. I'm going to do something around parking, how that technology has driven a very successful business. So it's really getting the girls to see what the opportunities are. And then as they move to college, the WIT on Campus program is really getting them thinking about when you leave here, what kind of fields are you truly looking at, and then giving them the support so that they will stay in the fields and basically see it through. Because a lot of women get into it, but they don't stay.
Yeah, they don't continue on that path.
Correct.
For whatever reason. And you want to make sure you're staying in front of them from a young age through college and then in and onto their career.
Right. And just going back to the girls for a second, I think it's really important for us to model what it looks like mm-hmm. and for them to see, if they were to come to Park Mobile, to see someone like Cherie and say, I could possibly be a CEO of my own company. That is very important. Extremely important.
No doubt about it. And so other ways you guys are raising money, you have certain events throughout the year. I see you have one coming up on June 11th at the Georgia Aquarium, the beautiful Georgia Aquarium. So tell us a little bit about that event and what goes on there that evening.
So WIT Connect is our signature fundraiser for the year, and it's very exciting to see the number of packages that we're receiving. It's fundraising through the selling of executive packages, which I thought was a very clever idea. And so we have executives such as Paul Walsh from CIO of Dell, who's mm-hmm. going to be basically selling off his time to the highest bidder. He has a current budget spend of like $750 million. And so someone would want that hour of time with him. And so it's really a fun night of networking to really get people to interact with all of the businesses here in Atlanta.
And this is the 21st year this event has taken place. Have you been to it in years past?
This is my first
time. This will be your first year.
I'm very excited.
No, that's good. I'm sure it's going to be great. Is it a black tie event? I mean, do people get dressed up in ball gowns and tuxedos to do this thing?
It's pretty much business attire. So
okay.
People are coming right from work. And so most people are going to be very comfortable walking around and doing what they need to do in business attire.
And it's at the Georgia Aquarium, so that's a cool place to just visit. What a better, you know, place to go kind of after hours and network and see that there. And so you'll have the event taking place, again, June 11th at the Georgia Aquarium. People can buy tickets to that?
Absolutely. So if they go to mywit.org, they can find all the information they need on WIT Connect. Absolutely.
Okay, and so that's the big event. And any other events you guys do through the year, or any other fundraising campaigns that may take place?
Well, probably that same night, we will be kicking off the Women of the Year and announcing the process for people to begin submitting nominations. And so the next big event will be Women of the Year, which will be November 19th.
Okay.
And it'll also be at the Georgia Aquarium.
Nice. And so, yeah, so you'll kind of start nominating folks at that evening and then kind of campaigning for who your favorite Woman of the Year is and all accumulating there in November with an award presentation to who that is.
And, absolutely. And, of course, we have a Woman of the Year from last year.
Past winner, Cherie.
Sitting in our presence as we speak.
Yes, last year I had the amazing honor of being named Woman of the Year for the small emerging category.
Nice. And what was that like?
Well, it was really amazing, especially, you know, not coming myself from a technology background, but and it also allowed me to get more involved with a terrific organization, mm-hmm. like I am now involved with WIC Connect, and really raise the profile of our small organization, Park Mobile. Mm-hmm. Following that award, this year we were named a top 10 company by TAG and got to speak at the Georgia Technology Summit in front of about 600 people.
Nice.
And we also made the cover of Hub Magazine's Automotive Technology Edition.
Oh, and that's because of the Woman of the
Year.
I
think it's because I was Woman of the Year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How about that? And so do you get to present the trophy next year to the winner? You're kind of like the green jacket at the Masters. They always give the next year's winner. Or you'll have a role to play, I'm sure, in this event coming up.
Yes, I will definitely have a role in the event coming up this fall, and yeah. I'm very excited about that.
Very good. So we'll just kind of wrap up here with Sandy Welfare, Executive Director of WIT. Any way folks can buy tickets or get in touch with you or find out more information about your organizations that you would like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. Probably the best place to start is on our website, which is mywit.org, or call the WIT office, which is 470-823-3228.
Very good. Well, thank you for visiting the studio. Will you mind sticking around for a little bit more as we talk
Absolutely.
To these other exciting guests? So we'll talk to Tina Dyer. She is Director of Marketing for Park Mobile. How long have you been with the organization?
I have been there. This is going on my fifth year with
fifth
Park
year.
Mobile.
Very nice. And how long has Park Mobile been around?
We started in the U.S. market back in 2008.
Okay. So you've kind of seen it grow and develop through the years.
I have. It's been a fun roller coaster ride so far.
And it was started right here in Atlanta?
Well, we are based out of the Netherlands. We started Park Mobile back in 1999 in the Netherlands, and we brought it over to the U.S. market in 2008.
Well, can you describe for us, please, what Park Mobile does for our listeners?
Absolutely. It's a very cool app, an easy way to pay for parking. So we have a mobile app that you can download for free on all of the platforms, and a registered user can simply enter in their credit card information, have a one-time registration, and they can pay for parking using the mobile app. It's very simple, quick, takes less than 20 seconds to start a parking transaction. And then the added bonus is we send you 15-minute alerts and notifications letting you know when your parking session is about to expire. So that's a good indicator of either being able to extend parking if mm-hmm. you can or if you'd like to, or heading back to your car.
And so does the parking lot owner have to be involved with Park Mobile? So how do they get their money?
Correct. So we do partner with, so our clients consist of private operators, municipalities, universities, airport settings, event spaces. So we follow the guidelines and the rules and regulations that are placed by the municipality or private operator, and we partner with them. So it is really a partnership.
I see. So, but I usually go into a parking place that you punch a button to get the ticket. The gate goes up. You drive in and park, and it's usually based on an hourly rate, in some cases. So would that be, and then you go out, you have to give them your ticket, and you pay based on how long you were there. So how does that play into Park Mobile?
Ours is a lot simpler than that.
Okay.
So you no longer have to go to the meter at all. If you're going into a gated environment, we have an app. It works very similar to like your Delta app. You would be able to scan a specific QR code. The gate then vets. Mm-hmm. You go into a parking spot and it charges the credit card on file for the amount of time. So when you're exiting the gate, you would do the same thing. You would scan the barcode and or ticket and it charges you for that amount of time.
Okay.
And you're on your way.
Okay. And how widespread is this app in the United States and most importantly here in the Atlanta metro area?
Absolutely. So we service approximately 1,400 locations spanning over 39 states currently. And in the Atlanta market itself, we cover about 8,900 on-street and off-street spaces. and including the city of Atlanta and multiple private operators.
Oh, that's got to be huge. You know, Atlanta's a premium for parking when you're downtown, especially.
It is.
And how efficient that could be if you were commuting daily down there and you had multiple business meetings, you could have this app and just do it almost hassle-free, thanks to your app and such. So let's bring Sheree into the conversation here. You are the CEO of Park Mobile. How long have you been in that position?
I've been in that position for about 2.5 years.
Okay, and what's a bit of your background? How did you come to find yourself as the CEO of Park Mobile?
Well, it's interesting. I started my career as an M&A lawyer at a large firm.
Okay.
So I have a legal and an accounting background.
Wow.
And so when I left the law firm, I became general counsel of a big payments company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got some payments experience. And after I left that job, I was trying to decide what I was going to do for the next challenge, and I came across the recruiter who was recruiting for the Park Mobile CEO position, and I thought, well, this is amazing because it is fundamentally a payments company. We're processing payments, but we do so much more than that, and it's an amazing consumer use case. And so I interviewed for the job and I got it.
And here you
are. It's also been a wild ride.
Yeah. And so do you find that there are other women in the CEO running new emerging technology companies, or do you find yourself alone in that space?
Well, kind of sadly, a lot of times I find myself alone in that space. Mm. And I think about all the great programs that WIT is doing, and that's why I have been so excited to get involved with the organization. When I was growing up, I was really strong in math and science, but my role models were lawyers and business people. And so I didn't know what STEM education was. We didn't have programs like Girls Get IT. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to college, I majored in accounting. And at college, we didn't have programs like WIT on campus. So there was no source to educate me that, as to what a technology field meant. I really thought it meant kind of sitting in a closet and coding. And I had a couple of coding classes, and that was fun, but it didn't seem like what I wanted to do with my career. And so I'm hopeful that with the huge innovation climate in Georgia and all the great work that WIT is doing, that I will see more and more female leadership in our tech companies.
And how important is that to have a diverse workforce, especially in the C-suite level? What do you think are the advantages there to keeping that, women in those seats?
Well, and of course, diversity goes beyond women, but there are many, many studies that show that businesses perform better if they have a diverse workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts personally with setting an open climate that's very accepting of all types of diversity, and then being very intentional about your recruiting process to make sure that when you're bringing new people into the organization, that you consider a diverse array of clients.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good answer, and certainly you hear that a lot more going forward, especially in the technology field. We've got to diversify the people who are out there who are leading these organizations. Otherwise, you're only going to have kind of a one-track focus, one-track mind, for the goals out there. So that's good to hear. And then you're involved with Women of the Year. You were voted last year, 2014, Woman of the Year on behalf of the WIT Foundation, and you're the co-chair for the WIT Connect this year. What is that going to be like for you?
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. I didn't realize it when I said that I'd be delighted to be the honorary co-chair, but it essentially means that you're the MC for the event. And the event will have about 800 people, and I have a wonderful co-chair. And so we will get to basically run the auction that night. So if I could provide a little bit more detail about how the event works.
Please.
So at Park Mobile, we participated last year. And so even though we're not a large company like Dell with a $750 million technology budget, we were able to raise $5,000 for WIT. And so even as a small company, you can really contribute. And that $5,000, all I had to do was go to two lunches with nice people. So it's a really, really
where'd y'all go to lunch?
Easy way. We went to Ray's on the River, which
is
by our office. And so there are three primary ways that you can get involved. The first way is to give of your time and let your company be auctioned off.
Okay.
And
so
if
just
you're,
your time, basically, right?
An hour.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a CEO or a CIO or anybody really in the C-suite, and you're willing to put together a couple of your executives to meet with somebody for an hour, that's all it takes. And smaller companies are in a silent auction, and larger companies are highlighted on the stage, as part of the event. Sometimes it's just to lunch, but companies get very creative. Last year, there's a trip to the Masters with the executive team. of a large company.
Do you remember how much that went for?
No, but some of these events go for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of guys in this town would pay lots of money to experience that for sure.
And that was one of the most popular items because you definitely get to mix business with pleasure. Mm-hmm. But as we're talking about money, we have a very aggressive goal. And that goal is to raise $430,000 at the event.
Okay. Just the event alone.
The event alone. Now, so that comes out to the other two ways to get involved. Obviously, we need people to bid. So mm-hmm. these are vendors who want to provide services to the companies. And there are, you know, you can bid on companies that are smaller, like Park Mobile, where you're talking a few thousand dollars, you know, up to the companies that come with a very large budget to many companies actually make WIC Connect a big part of their business development budget mm-hmm. because they've gotten such tremendous results from the meetings that they have paid for or contributed for in the past. Another way to get involved is to serve as a sponsor or buy a table. And there are sponsorship levels at, you know, different financial commitments. Mm-hmm. So you just get to come to what is one of the best networking events in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then the last way is we are auctioning off some like luxury experiences this year.
Okay.
Trips and other luxury items. And so there'll be a little bit of fun in between so the business.
Yeah, but even for those smaller companies out there who want to give back, you can just give back your time. That's
exactly.
all it takes. And that certainly is something we're running short of these days, it seems like. But, you know, if you have that time, someone out there would love to enjoy spending some time with that person at a lunch or whatever it may be. So that's great. There's multiple ways to get involved. It's, you know, buying tickets, buying a table, or auctioning off as well. So and so your goals for this year, you raise over $400,000 for WIT Connect this year?
Yeah, so our goal this year is $430,000.
And then we'll bring Sandy, just if you could, with that money raised, then where does that go back to? How much does that, you know, help you, and what are some of the things you get to do with that, those monies raised?
All of the funds for WIC Connect pretty much go back to support all of the operations and programs. And so if we were to look at the Girls Get IT, WIT on Campus, as well as the WIT forums, all of it is part and parcel of us supporting women and girls from the classroom, you know, to the boardroom. And so I would say our July is probably going to be a really big WIT forum where we're going to have Ms. Hala from the Atlanta Metro Chamber coming and speaking on behalf of women in business at that WIT forum. And so I think those are the types of events that women want to be a part of, because it helps them to understand, here's some of the challenges, but then here's how I can overcome those challenges.
Good. So the monies go back to help, you know, advance the whole program itself and the foundation and everything. So
right. And at WIT, we really are truly trying to be passionate advocates for women in the Georgia STEM community. I think if we're not intentional, back to what Cherie said in terms of hiring, if there's no intentional strategy around it, it will not happen for the state of Georgia. And for the 30,000 plus jobs that are coming to Atlanta between this year and 2020, we really want 50-50 by 2020. We want 50% of those jobs going to women. And the sad thing is, it's only going to move the dial slightly. It's not even going to give us this big jump. We might go from 24% to 27%. But of course, any change in a positive direction is definitely what we want.
50-50 by 2020.
50-50 by 2020.
Okay, I think we can all support that mission for sure.
Absolutely.
So just again, reminding our listeners, that's June 11th, 2015 at the Georgia Aquarium. Buy your tickets now. Any social media handles that you want to share, a website, Twitter, Facebook, anything like that that people can go to?
Well, definitely for Women in Technology is at WITATL, so at WIT.
ATL, so find them on Twitter. And then for Park Mobile?
For Park Mobile, you can find us at parkmobile.com, mm-hmm. or you can follow us at on Twitter at Park Mobile.
Oh, very good. And are you guys with Park Mobile, are you guys hoping to expand this year? Are you guys getting to more markets or getting it more accessible? Are you on multiple platforms, not only the iOS? Can you get this for Android as well?
You can get it for all platforms.
Nice. I know that's some folks are still looking to make that jump from one platform to another. So that's good that anybody can access it.
Even the BlackBerry platform.
Is
that was
right?
Our first app, yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, you would think now that, you know, back then that was the hot ticket, mm-hmm. but more people are going towards the other devices. But that's good
exactly.
to know. That's good. So find them on the website. Cherie, can people reach out to you on LinkedIn or anything like that if they want to find you or talk to you more about how to get involved with the foundation?
Oh, yes. I'd be happy to have people reach out to me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, I am at C. Fuzzell. C-F-U-Z-Z-E-L-L.
C. Fuzzell. Very good. And so just to kind of wrap up with some final thoughts on the event this year, and looking forward to that, and then going forward to the Woman of the Year in November. But the June 11th, 2015 at the Georgia Aquarium, buy your tickets now. And Cherie, you are co-chair this year. And tell me about who's chairing with you. Who's the other co-chair?
Yeah, Jay Farrow is the co-chair, and he is the CIO at the American Cancer Society.
And I met him this past weekend at the TechBridge conference there with Ricky Steele and Booth 61. So we interviewed him, and so that he was such a nice guy, and his story is very compelling. And so I'm sure he's going to be a big hit this year with the co-chair as well. So benefiting, you know, young girls, career women, and everything in between. The WIT Foundation is definitely doing good things, and the WIT Connect event is going to be a huge success, I'm sure. Any final thoughts, Sandy, that you would like to share, anything we didn't cover or an additional information you would like to share with our listeners?
I would just ask Atlanta businesses to come out and support whatever way you can, because as Cherie said earlier, it's really about finding ways that you can engage with women in technology. And what we're trying to do is support all women here in Georgia.
Very good. Tina, on the Park Mobile platform, anything else that our listeners should know?
To answer your earlier question, we are actively expanding our market every day. So definitely look out for us in new cities and, you know, new things happening in our app as well, too.
So whether you're a municipality, a university, or just a parking lot owner who wants to make parking easier in your space, reach out to Park Mobile and talk to Tina. And Cherie?
Well, and if you, I was going to say, come to the WIT Connect event, if for no other reason than just a great, great networking event. There's no other event in town that I'm aware of that puts over, you know, 800 people together mm-hmm. in a beautiful environment with a new baby at the aquarium,
okay.
The new beluga,
yeah,
on display. So I just hope that we can break our numbers in terms of attendance this year.
And you don't have to wear a tuxedo or a ball gown. You can come in your business attire and network with some of the best and highest profile women in professions out here in the Atlanta technology arena. So what a better place to get it done and support Women in Technology Foundation. So thank you all very much for joining us in the studio. We certainly appreciate it. We wish you more success going forward, and we look forward to hearing some good things after the event. Hopefully, you'll come back and share the story of how much money you raised this year and you exceed your $430,000 goal. We would love to hear that story and how that made it happen. So on behalf of Business Radio X, if your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly through the website at businessradiox.com. On behalf of Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.